I used to know this man who was fiercely independent. He didn't want anyone to tell him what to do or how to do it or even where to go. He liked making his own choices and would bristle whenever someone would try to convince him to do something he didn't want to do or try to change his mind about something. Does anybody know anyone like that? I think so. You may not be surprised to hear that he also liked being self-sufficient, not knowing anything to anyone, not being beholden. He worked as a journeyman carpenter, and I think he was drawn to that work because he could work alone. He also didn't believe in God and would look down his nose at people whom he felt couldn't think for themselves or even make informed decisions about how to live their lives. And as you can imagine, we went around and around on the subject of religion. He felt that those who were religious, like me, were simple folk, being fed at the altar of ignorance. In the end, I believe my friend was a slave to his lonely hopelessness. Paul talks about slavery in our reading from Romans today, too. In the ancient world, everyone knew what Paul meant when he wrote about being obedient slaves. Shanthea Monroe in Feasting on the Word tells us he is really driving toward the idea of ultimate allegiance, loyalty, obedience, and service. To be a slave, as Paul understands it, is to surrender your life to the control of another. Well, I have another friend. After joining a gym, she decided she wanted to become a competitive bodybuilder. She'd always eaten healthy meals, but once she started lifting weights and going to competitions, she became a slave to bodybuilding. She'd go to the tanning booth to get the required for competition tan, which accentuated the muscles under the stage lights. To dehydrate her body so that the striations in her muscles wouldn't be hidden under fluid in the skin, she'd only eat boiled chicken and broccoli for 3 days before a competition. I have to tell you, around about the third day, she started smelling like broccoli. She started working with a coach who helped her with her posture, who created a dance routine for her competitions, and she and her husband began to spend every weekend driving to and from competitions. She was loyal to the expectations of the god of competitive women's bodybuilding, and she took her orders from the judges and her coach. Well, how about those who become slaves to the almighty dollar? Have you ever heard of the Quickstar Company? Has anybody ever heard of the Quickstar Company? Yeah. It's also called Amway. It sells vitamins and cosmetics, appliances, and electronics through distributors. The more people you get to distribute, the more money you can potentially make. NBC did a Dateline hidden camera special on this company a few years back. Chris Hansen described the appeal of the company like this. Thousands of true believers gathered in celebration at arenas across the country, all convinced they found the true path to success, to wealth beyond their wildest dreams. The promises are golden, fueling dreams they have of luxury homes, fancy cars, yachts, and private planes. One of the recruiters is quoted on camera as saying, "I owe nobody nothing. You know, today I'm looking at a $1 million home, a $1,000 Rolex, just for kicks. And I just got a brand new Lincoln Navigator sitting out front, paid for in cash." It's almost as if Shanthea Monroe watched this special when she wrote the following. If you want to know who your master is, pay attention to what occupies your thoughts and how you spend your time and money. We are all serving something or someone. And to me, it seems like that distributor was a slave to the almighty dollar. Well, we're all going to have a master that we're going to be loyal to. So the question for us is, what or whom is your master going to be? Paul thinks our choice ultimately comes down to two choices, sin or God. By sin, he meant those thoughts or behaviors that are wicked or impure, based on iniquity or injustice. And he knew what he was talking about, for he spoke from personal experience, calling himself the worst sinner of all. Paul must have been referring to the times when he persecuted followers of Jesus as a Pharisee, binding and sending men and women to prison, casting his vote for a death sentence, even going so far as pursuing them to foreign lands. Paul was confident in his righteous judgment, and he became a slave to that truth. And he raged in fury, anger, and judgment against the followers of Jesus. Paul's choice number two, that of believing in God in Christ Jesus, began for Paul in a flash of blinding light on the road from Jerusalem to Damascus. Paul's conversion is a story of divine grace, teaching him and us that nothing is beyond the grace of God, not even a murderous Pharisee. So for us here today, I guess it all comes down to who we decide to give our loyalty to. We could continue to give all our loyalties to the pursuit of personal wealth, worshiping the God of Wall Street. We could give our all to the fickle God of physical beauty. Or like my friend the carpenter, we could be slaves to the illusion that we should want independence from relationships or even hope. Not only could we choose to be loyal to these gods, we do it all the time. None of us are immune from having misguided loyalties. To paraphrase Paul in today's reading from Romans, whenever we submit our wills to sin or wickedness or injustice, we call them master. And a harsh master they will prove to be. What advantage do we get from the things of which we are now ashamed? What advantage do we get from the things of which we are now ashamed? As Harold Masbeck writes in Feasting on the Word, the human is either God-centered or self-centered. We are heading toward God and life, or we are heading toward sin and death. Now, I can't speak for anyone else, but I've chosen sin and death many times in my life. But I don't want to live there anymore. I want to be loyal to Christ, and I want my life to show it. I want to be loyal to Christ, and I want my life to show it. From Rick Hansen, author and neuroscientist, most of the good stuff we all want inside, the gratitude, kindness, grit, self-worth, confidence, feeling loved, resilience, compassion, insight, happiness, and inner peace, all comes from turning passing experiences of these good qualities of mind and heart into lasting inner strengths woven into the fabric of the brain. How blessed our world and our lives would be if we chose to be loyal to God in Christ. And may all God's people say,